Thank you, worship team. It's so fun to have our teenagers leading us once a month in worship. We celebrate God raising up the next generation of leaders of our congregation. We want to meet with God right now. Little insight. There's always a temptation that runs through me as I prepare to get up and preach. And I'll honestly, last night I didn't sleep well. I'm kind of tired. And so I was sitting there or standing there just a few minutes ago thinking, okay, Lord, I need energy. I need to get up there. I need to be able to communicate. Give me energy. And all of a sudden I realized that's not the right prayer. I don't want to stand up here in my energy and in my volume and communicate. Our prayer, and I hope you'll pray with me, our prayer is that God would speak through his word this morning. Will you join me? Heavenly Father, we are people who are reliant upon you, dependent upon you. And we're asking that this morning you would minister to each one of us. We invite you to open your word and illuminate it by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cause your word to move past the defenses and the worldly belief systems that so plague our minds and allow us, Lord, to see you, hear you, and then respond to you appropriately. We want to recognize that you are God, worthy of all of our adoration, worthy of all of our worship, worthy of all of our yielding ourselves to you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, this Sunday follows the United States' celebration of Independence Day a couple days back. And so for my theme, I'm using three words, which I hope you'll see with me in the scripture text that we'll be looking at. But we're talking about independence, and then dependence, and then interdependence. And we want to see those in the right light from God's perspective. So looking first of all at our Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 61, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And in reading this, we recognize Isaiah was the prophet who received these words by the Holy Spirit and penned them. And then 700 or so years later, the Lord Jesus Christ used these very words to announce his arrival and the beginning of his ministry and his assignment. And then we see it now as our assignment as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was our Old Testament reading. Turn with me to their gospel reading from John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47 is what we'll look at together. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47. Starting at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Quite a confrontational situation Jesus was in, as he's got followers gathering him and then critics around him. And he's pointing out this huge difference that we also need to keep straight for our own lives and for how we view people around us. There were people talking to Jesus who were of Jewish descent. They called themselves children of Abraham. They had all these rules that they followed that were from both the Old Testament and then things they had tacked on over the years. So they had this religious system in place that they were so caught up in, they failed to see the truth of the very scriptures they honored and the one who came as the very author of those scripture themselves. Do we ever get caught up in believing the wrong thing, even religious things? Do we ever get caught up in looking at our Bible and seeing it in a wrong perspective? Is it possible to be a follower of the Christianity of our culture and not a follower of the Christ of the church? As Jesus was confronted here with these different Jewish people, he spoke about being a son of Abraham. A son of the forefather of the faith, the one who lived out a life of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then Abraham obeyed God. Unfortunately, it's possible to follow rules and miss the belief in the one who gave us those very life-giving rules. We see this lived out in even more detail in our epistle reading for today from the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to a church that struggled with two groups having influence. Paul was of great influence there in his preaching of the gospel, but there was a group of people called the Judaizers who also came to try to influence that congregation. The Judaizers were people of Jewish background who wanted to enforce upon these Gentile Christians that they must follow all the rules of Judaism. They have to follow all the rituals and all the ceremonies and all the special days and times of festival. They have to add into their faith the law-keeping, the rule-keeping, and the ritual-keeping. So Paul is pointing out that we are called to be free from things of the world to follow the Lord Jesus Christ under the guidance of his Holy Spirit. Starting our reading in chapter 5, verse 1 of the book of Galatians. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." And a pause here. when he uses the term circumcision, he's not referring to just the ritual that was done to young boys of that culture, but he's talking about the whole belief system that based up all their salvation on whether they were following the rules that were attached to that whole elaborated and extended belief system that the Jewish people had built around the core of the gospel truth, or the Old Testament truth. So he says, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In this case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would go ahead and emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Independence, dependence, and interdependence. What are we independent from? As a nation, we celebrate being independent from a foreign nation. Our country was able to free itself from the control of England and the King of England 250 years ago. But what about us? We are called to be independent. The problem is that as Americans, we sometimes so celebrate that concept of independence, we want to be independent of everything and anything. We want to be free to do our own thing no matter what, make our own rules, set our own ideas of morality, even determine our own gender however we want to. Things are getting crazy because this streak of independence is welling up to cause people to turn from any dependence upon anything that is right or true or sovereign. But we are called to be independent. Independent of sin and the consequences of sin. Independent of the devil and his temptations and his accusations and his deceptions. Independent of even the law that acted as a weight upon our shoulders so that we'd be independent in order to turn towards God in true faith. The Declaration of the Independence starts with these words, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what is it that produces happiness? What are we pursuing if we're to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Happiness is not just from doing what you want to do. Happiness is not just from having a 4th of July celebration with food and family and fireworks. Happiness comes from a right relationship with God. Being free from the controls of things that we need to be set free from, being truly independent of the works of the devil, but also then made dependent upon God himself. The problem is our sinful nature leads us to think we can determine our own truth apart from God. We can think that we are good enough or that God has to let us into heaven because we've performed a certain level. We followed a certain number of the rules, but we are called to recognize our need to be dependent upon God and his work for us. So independence, yes, but only from the right things. Independent from things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Galatians 5, verse 16 said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." We're in this constant battle of our flesh, our desires, our inner cravings, trying to tell us what to do. Eat this, do that, pursue this. But we are constantly in this battle of saying no to the flesh, so we can say yes to God. We want to be set free, independent from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the verse 18 of Galatians 5 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law." So dependent upon God, dependent upon Christ and his atoning work. Verse 5 through 6 again in Galatians say, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." We're hoping for something that we already have. We're anticipating something that's already been granted to us. God, as we are called by His grace, gives us the ability to respond in faith. This new relationship begins, and we're now in this state of anticipation of it breaking out ever more in our earthly existence and one day in completion as we enter into our heavenly existence. We're living in this state of dependence upon what God has accomplished, anticipating how it will be played out. But we're continually dependent. In our men's discipleship group this week, we looked at this verse. It says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." There's a dying to self, a being dependent upon God, of letting go of our rights so that we can receive from God that which we most want and most need, life from Him. Or consider the way Paul said it in his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 14. Paul tells us that the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So, dependent upon God. Controlled by the very love of Christ. Controlled by what Christ has done and is doing in us. We're not independent in the sense that we're lone rangers doing our own thing morally and spiritually. We are fully dependent upon God, His work, and now His love guides us, controls us, empowers us, leads us as we live this out. The forefathers had a lot right as they started our nation. And they declared their independence from a sovereign power, but they also declared their dependence upon God. In the closing words of the Declaration of Independence, it says this, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." They were expressing right there in the Declaration of Independence their full dependence upon God. And then their interconnectedness to one another. As he said, that they were pledging themselves to each other. To each other. And indeed, they lived that out and actually died with that commitment as these founding fathers gave themselves up for this cause. The vast majority of them did not survive the war of independence that followed. We now, as independent from the devil, as fully dependent upon God, now live out this interdependence with one another. We live out this connectedness with those that God has given us to walk this life with. Galatians 5, verse 13 again says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. This is the third week in a row where we've had that phrase in one context or another. How we are called to now love one another, and in so doing, live out the gospel truth as we're controlled by, compelled by, urged on by the very love of Christ. Yes, we're free from sin. We're independent of the works of the devil, but we're fully dependent on God, and that's lived out in the context of being in relationship with one another. God creates a community of people who seek after God, live free from sin together, in full reliance upon God. The picture Paul paints in 1 Corinthians is of a body. 1 Corinthians 12. There should no longer be division in the body, but that the body's parts should all have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of that body. We're interdependent. We're interconnected. We're journeying after God together. We're not chasing our own happiness and our own desires only, but we're looking for how to honor God and honor one another and fulfill the very goals and dreams of the kingdom of God. We do this in community. It's an honor to live in a community where there's so many people who want to follow God, want to live for God, want to be a testimony to God. I celebrate that at our county fair there is a gospel tent, and we get to be a part of helping set that up and being in attendance there and some of our people ministering there. We want to be living that out as we live in community. And that's really how the first church started. You read the book of Acts, chapter 2, it describes the early church. How they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of being together, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were devoted to one another in the context of seeking after God, and listening to Him and honoring Him. That's what we're called to be. Independent, dependent, interdependent. I came across an article this week by Sarah Claudia. She was a woman who, in her testimony, explained she started off life as a young girl so independent, always a loner, always out doing her own thing, loved going hikes through the woods around her home place with her dogs in tow, didn't really need to be in the context of a group of friends, loved being independent as she grew to young adulthood. But then, and she doesn't explain it in her testimony how, but then she became blind and suddenly had to struggle with the reality that she could not be independent. There were so many things that she could not do anymore for herself. She was struggling with the anger that came from that and this sense of frustration where she couldn't do what she wanted to do unless someone else helped her find the right thing, show her the right place, read her the thing that needed to be read. And I wonder if her little struggle is in some ways a picture of you and I. How we want to be independent and struggle with this idea that we're dependent upon God and upon others. Our flesh so wants to exert itself. But in reality, we all are blind in so many ways. We cannot see all the things that God has planned. We cannot see all the ways His truth is going to be walked out in our lives. We need God to continually guide us, grab us by the hand, walk us through these situations, and change our heart. This is the first Sunday of the month, so we have communion together. Communion is a time of us expressing again our dependence on God and our interconnectedness with one another. We don't do communion individually, we do it corporately. We do it together. And as we come forward, we're saying, Lord, we need You. We need You to free us from sin's power. We need You to continually guide us and direct us and enable us. And we want to live that out side by side, shoulder by shoulder with one another as we live for God. Let's celebrate today Our independence, yes, from the right things. Our dependence, most definitely, to God and all that he's done for us. And our interdependence as we are connected to one another. Let's pray. Well, we recognize from the very beginning that we are tempted to become independent of you, to do what you've told us not to do, to eat what you told us not to eat, to take what you told us not to take. And whenever we sin, Lord, there's consequences, and we ask that you, by your grace and mercy, would come and change our hearts so we have a desire now to live in dependence to you. Give us a desire to hear your voice and heed your instructions and walk with you moment by moment. We don't want to get caught up in legalism and following all the man-made rules, but we most definitely want, Lord, to sense your guidance, your direction, and to walk step by step with you. Empower us by your Spirit, we ask. And Lord, we thank you that we're not on this journey alone. Enable us to grab arms, to link arms, to walk with each other as we pursue you together. To be a body of believers where each part does its part, where each part is honored, where each part is helped, so that your kingdom is established, and your church grows, and people come to see you as the rescuer and the Savior, the true source of independence. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.